Well, good morning, Grace Chapel. And as it has already been said, happy Mother's Day to you moms out there. I want to wish my mom a very special happy Mother's Day. I hope all of us are able to get outside, maybe enjoy some of the beautiful weather that we have been gifted and blessed with on this day. I hope it's a special day for all of you. This morning, we're going to continue on in a series called What He Said. We began this series about 2 weeks into this COVID crisis, as I really felt like we as a people needed to hear from Jesus some of the really life-giving words of Jesus, words that inspire us, words that challenge us, words that motivate us, words that really pour into us in an effort so that we could become more like Jesus. That's our goal as disciples and followers of Jesus. We want to be more like Him. And so we're taking in these words in this time, in this season, and I hope that they're changing us and transforming us and challenging us. And I hope that this morning, as we look at our text together, that will be no different. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 18 primarily. We're also going to touch base with Luke chapter 15 just a little bit. But I'm going to give you just a quick second. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Matthew chapter 18. If you don't have your Bible, that's fine. All the words of the text will be on the screen behind me this morning. So Matthew chapter 18, here's how it starts. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Well, if you're familiar with Scripture at all, you know that there are several times where Jesus' disciples came to us and they had this concern on their mind. We want to know who's the greatest. Who's the best? Is it one of us? Is it somebody else? You tell us, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, Jesus does something that must have really shocked them next. Watch what He does. He called a little child to Him and placed the child among them. Now, Jesus would often use what He had around Him to teach. And in this moment, there must have been a crowd assembled around Him, and there was a child as part of that crowd. And Jesus calls that child to Him, does something that was very unexpected, especially, I think, for the disciples. So He calls a child to Him, and He placed a child among them. And He said these words. He said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus says, stop worrying about who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You guys need to worry about who's going to be in the kingdom of heaven, who's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And you may need a heart change to start to get to that place where you understand what the kingdom of heaven is really even all about. And so they're worried about the greatest, and Jesus calls a child among them and says, look, unless you guys change and become like this child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. He goes on to say, therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Now, this is kind of the intro to what we're going to be looking at this morning. But I want you to see, as we set the scene, what was taking place. I want you to get an understanding of what the background is as we begin Matthew chapter 18 together. What Jesus is dealing with, the question that He's trying to answer before Him. The disciples have said again, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You tell us, we want to know. And so Jesus again brings this child before them and says, listen, unless you change and become like this child, unless you accept the humility, the wonder that children often had, unless you embrace what this child has, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So let's stop worrying about the greatest. Let's worry about some other things. Now, I want you to see, just real quick, as we deal with these short few verses, I think what Jesus is saying is this, or what we see in this text is this. While the disciples were primarily concerned about who was the greatest, I mean, that was their concern. Who's the greatest? We want to know who the greatest is. You tell us who's the best. We want to know that. Jesus showed the love He had for those who were considered the lowly and the least, and was asking the disciples to do the same. So we learn something incredible about God in this passage, because Jesus is God in the flesh. We learn His love for the lowly and the least. And then we see as well, we're called as disciples, as followers of Jesus, to embrace that kind of attitude and to actually become like children ourselves in the way that we become the lowly and the least. We say yes to humility instead of yes to greatness. And that is certainly something that Jesus calls us into. He called His disciples into that as well. Now, we're going to move on in this text, and we're going to skip a few verses. The theme kind of continues the same, along the same lines. We're going to move straight to verse 10, where Jesus says these words. He says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones." Okay, so the attitude, certainly, If you go back a few years, remember when the attitude often about children are to be seen and not heard. Now, we understand from history that that was a similar attitude that was alive in Jesus' day. Children should be seen and not heard. Children are sometimes burdens, or children are just, you know, we don't want them around because they're not really all that important. So kids, when you're around adults, you be quiet, you stay away. This is not your place. Certainly, it seems that maybe that is what Jesus was confronting, an attitude that Jesus was confronting at that time. And he says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." Now, this is where we get the idea of guardian angels. And Jesus is saying these little ones, they've got angels who are watching over them. So again, you think this is a little and a lowly child. He's got an angel, or she's got an angel watching over them, is what Jesus says to some degree. He says this, he asks a question now. He says, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off?" So Jesus uses this teaching moment that he's had with his disciples, where they're worried about who's the greatest and who's the best, to bring up a child, to introduce him to the importance of humility as an attitude and a virtue that must be embraced within his kingdom. He uses this moment to impress upon them not to despise little ones. Now, he's actually making a transition here, because what we'll see in just a second, we're all little ones in some sense, all of us. And we're actually called to be little ones in the eyes of Jesus. We're called to behave like little ones, embrace, again, this attitude of humility that is so central to being a citizen of God's kingdom. So Jesus now tells this story. He says, listen, imagine there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep and one of them wandered off. Okay, so one wandered off. And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he's happier about the one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Incredible story for us. Very powerful words showing the deep love of the Father for each one of us. Now again, remember, you and I are now the little ones in the story. You and I are now the sheep in the story. And what we see very plainly in this passage is this, that because of his relentless love for us, God loves every one of us, each one of us deeply. Because of his relentless love for us, God is unwilling to give up on us. And we are supposed to embody that attitude, embrace that attitude as well in the way we live. We're supposed to be people who don't give up on each other. God is a God. Because of his relentless love, God is unwilling to give up on us. And the truth about that is God is unwilling to give up on any of us. There's not a one of us that he's willing to watch wander away. In fact, we see in this passage, the shepherd goes and searches for the sheep who wanders away. It's not just that he rejoices if that sheep happens to stumble back in. He pursues that sheep. Because of his relentless love for us, God engages in a pursuit of us because he's unwilling to give up on us, any of us. And so Jesus uses this teaching moment to call the disciples to understand the Father more fully, and because of that, understand the attitudes and the heart that they ought to embrace more fully as well. Now, there's a parallel passage to this, a parallel text to this in Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, we see that Luke relays this parable of the lost sheep. Very, very similar story. In fact, Jesus is talking about lost things in Luke 15. And Luke tells this parable. Jesus probably told these stories over and over again as he traveled around. And so there's a little bit of a variation on this parable, the parable of the lost sheep at this point, but it has basically the same point. There was a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and he was willing to say, you know what, I'm going to leave the 99 for a time so I can go chase after and find the one who wandered away. And then there was incredible rejoicing when the shepherd found that sheep. Jesus goes on to tell us another story in Luke 15, a story about a lost coin. There was this woman who had 10 coins. She had 10 coins. Okay, that was what she had. That was the value of her possessions, maybe in this world. So she had 10 coins and she loses one of them. Did she forget about that coin and say, well, I still have 9 and so I'm okay. 90% is pretty good and I'm just going to go with that. No, she pursues that lost coin until she finds it. And again, the point of that story is pursuit and finding and seeking out. And when that coin is found, the rejoicing that takes place is incredible. And then, of course, we get to this story where it really comes home. And again, pun intended on that, it really comes home where we see this story of a young man who decided that maybe he would be better off on his own. And so he leaves his father and his mother, his household, behind. He asks his dad first for his inheritance. Let me have my inheritance, Dad. I want it now. Even though you're still living, I want my inheritance now. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to live the life I want to live. And after some time goes by, he realizes that the life he thought he was going to live, that where he thought the good life was, is not really where the good life was. The good life is back home in the arms of his father. And so he returns home. Now, what we may miss at this time, sometimes in this story, again, as this young man, the lost son, the prodigal son, we call him often, as he wanders away, or before he even wanders away, as he asks Dad for his inheritance, he's basically saying to his dad, Dad, I'm going to live from now on as if you were dead. The insult that went along with that, but even more than the insult, the heartbreak that would have gone along with that for a father would have been immense. It would have been incredible. And so we've got this story of a son who leaves his father's side, who says, Dad, I'm going to live as if you're no longer alive. I'm going to live the life I want to live. I'm going to go do the things I want to do, who one day wakes up and realizes that real life, good life was with Dad. And so he makes the journey home. And Dad, instead of rejecting him, embraces him and showers him with love. These stories go together. The story of the lost sheep, whether we read it in Matthew 18, whether we read it in Luke 15, the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, all go again to point out this reality that because of God's relentless love for us, He's unwilling to give up on any of us to the point that He will chase after us and pursue us. Again, that is the measure of God's relentless love for us, any of us. Every one of us. There could be 100 sheep, and God is not willing to say, I've got 99, I'm all right, I'm going to be just fine, it's only one. God says, no, I'll leave the 99 for a time, and I will chase after the one who's wandered away because one matters. One is important. One is valuable. Well, I said I was going to take it and make some application in this for any moms that are watching today. And again, I know my mom is watching, and so I'm going to share a little bit about myself and a little bit about my growing up as well. I was like many children through their teenage years who, like the prodigal son, have a moment or several moments where they choose to chase after what they think is valuable, what they think is most important, and maybe choose to live the life that they think is really living. This is where the good life is, and I'm going to go do this. What's amazing to me is that during my time of rebellion or walking away from the things that my parents thought were important, that they knew were important because they valued the things that God valued, in the times where I chose to walk away and pursue things that were not of God and that were not good, my mom never gave up on me. Now, there were times where my mom would have conversations with me, and there were conversations that I didn't want to hear, and maybe I even felt like, Mom, you're nagging me. Would you just leave me alone? Would you just let me do the things that I want to do? I just want to be my own person, my own self. That's what I want to do right now. I'm so thankful, looking back on those times, that my mom did not give up on me, and that even in the times when she wasn't speaking directly to me, there were times where I would be out making choices that I shouldn't make, and all of a sudden, here's my mom's voice in the back of my head reminding me of the person that God has called me to be, the person that she'd hoped I would become. You know, in this, my mom was a lot like God and showed me what God's love was like. Again, we serve a God that, because of His relentless love for us, is unwilling to give up on us, and He's going to keep chasing after us, and he's going to keep pursuing us because he believes in us. Because he believes what we can become if we give our lives to him, if we give up what we think is the idea of the good life and embrace his life, which is not just the good life, it's the best life. So here is what I want to say to moms this morning. Moms, you may be at a place where certainly during this COVID crisis, you know, you've become homeschool teacher maybe and everything else that goes with having your kids at home, pretty much exclusively having your kids at home. And this has probably been a high stress moment for you, whether you're the mom of a teenager or you're the mom of a four-year-old and everything in between. And there have probably been times where you're frustrated and you're at your wit's end and maybe you're even ready to give up. But here's what I want to say to you this morning. Moms, as you pursue your children, as you don't give up on them, as you give them everything you have, as you give them your relentless and never-ending love, your unfailing love, as you show them that, moms, as you pursue your children with that relentless love, one that chooses, again, to never give up, you reflect the image of God. You reflect the image of God. And in that, you teach your children what God looks like. Now, moms, you're not going to do this perfectly. So don't for a second think I'm putting that burden on you. You're not going to do this perfectly. And don't put that burden on yourself either. But in those moments where you do pursue your children with a relentless love, a love that chooses to never give up, you're teaching your children something incredible and valuable about a God who loves them, who will never give up on them either. That's the message this morning. Dads, this is important for you as well. This is important for all of us. This is important for us as we engage with people who aren't our children and we choose to not give up on them because we believe that God has created them for more than what they're living for in this moment. We reflect an image of God who pursues us with a relentless love that will never, ever give up on us. Let's pray as we close this message. Father, we thank you so much that you chose, that you've chosen and continue to choose to pursue us. We thank you for the stories of the pursuit of a lost sheep that teaches us every one of us is valuable. Every one of us, even though we may feel like a little one at times, though we feel like, God, you've got so much going on. You've got, yes, the whole world in your hands. How can you care about just one of us? Father, the reality is you care about every one of us with a deep and relentless love that moves you to pursue us and never give up on us, and thank you for that. God, I thank you that you continue to pursue me, that you've never given up on me. Father, I'm also so thankful for all the moms, for all the parents who pursue their children with this relentless love, this unfailing love. The love that they've learned from you, that now they're teaching to their children. God, may they never forget that as they show their children this kind of love, that they are imaging and reflecting you. They are teaching them about who you are. So, Father, give us what we need to be those kind of people. Continue to transform us more into the image and likeness of Jesus. We want to be like him. We want to be like him in all we do. We want to pursue others with the same love that you've pursued us with. Thank you, God, for loving us that way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Well, God bless you. It's my prayer that you're able to enjoy the day today. And again, God bless you, moms, for all you do.